Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
I'm right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. He is the mastermind of the pigskin. That is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Joe's least favorite week of the year in football has now officially come to a close. The NFL owner meetings in Minneapolis are done, with a lot to discuss from the Twin Cities. We will continue to break down the tush push and its survival in the National Football League and everything that was discussed and even some that was voted on around the NFL for 2025. We've got a new team on Hard Knocks, the training camp rendition this upcoming August. We'll break that down and we'll talk a little college football here on FFC on this Thursday as well. Lisi guy, what a show we have in store up until 1 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, we have a lot of storylines, right? And I don't know if you saw the latest with Bill Belichick and Jordan Hudson and that situation with his ex, you know, out there in Nantucket. And the unfortunate passing of Indianapolis owner Jim Irsay last night. That was unfortunate. And, you know, deep condolences to him and his family. And, you know, we talk about the tush push as it relates to being potentially banned on yesterday's show, and you know, two votes away and the Philadelphia Eagles wouldn't be able to do it in terms of this upcoming season. But you saw what the Eagles did in terms of the troll right out there on their social media. You know, they're getting ready to do it early, often, and teams are gonna have to stop it because this is the best team in the NFL right now, best odds potentially to win a Super Bowl, and I think they step up and potentially get it done again in 2025.
And again, Joe, the tush push ban falling by just two votes allows the tush push to still be a part of the conversation in the National Football League. What does it mean for the Eagles? Is it an early offseason victory for Philadelphia? We shall discuss. But, Joe, let's start with that sad and unfortunate news from last night. The Indianapolis Colts releasing a statement that Colts owner Jim Irsay has passed away at the age of 65. He was the sole owner of Indianapolis since 1997, but his father owned the team back when they played in Baltimore. Jim Irsay himself, the youngest GM in Colts franchise history, when they made the move to Indianapolis in 1984, he was only 25 years old. A unique, charismatic, and complex character, Joe, as NFL owners go in the National Football League. But there was no doubt how passionate Jim Irsay was about the city of Indianapolis and his franchise, sadly passing away at the age of 65.
Yeah, and one of the most outspoken owners, right? You think about owners that are vocal, it's Irsay potentially, and obviously Jerry Jones is two of the front runners out there that, you know, make it known their views and thoughts about not just the game, but potentially certain players. Obviously, Irsay had the negotiation in the offseason with Jonathan Taylor. He was in the news regarding that. But, you know, this is a team, and when you look at the Indianapolis Colts, that has young talent potentially that could take it to the next level. They've been close in terms of knocking down that playoff door, and we'll see how they rally around their owner, right? You know, it'll stay in the family. He's got a lot of kids and grandchildren, so We'll see what this means for the organization moving forward. But again, you know, Jim Irsay, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly as it relates to the off-the-field situation and being an owner in the NFL.
Yeah, absolutely so, Joe. Outspoken indeed. Philanthropic in how he approached all of the money that he made from his Colts franchise. There is no doubt about it. His daughter, Carly Irsay Gordon, is expected to assume control of the team, at least here in the immediate aftermath of her father's passing. 65 years old, Joe, but when he became that sole owner in 1997, of course, that was the start of Peyton Manning making his way to the National Football League and really ushered in a new era of success for this Colts organization under his guidance since 1997. A Super Bowl championship in the 2006 campaign, back in Super Bowl 41 for Indianapolis. 10 times a divisional champion since 1997 in the Andrew Luck era, and of course, under Peyton Manning. They won 7 of 8 divisional crowns in the AFC South from a span of 2003 through 2010. A ton of success, Joe, for this Colts franchise that really mirrored the success of Indianapolis as a sports hosting destination. Again, an owner who is incredibly passionate for his franchise, for his city. Jim Irsay will be remembered for all that he did in the NFL and for Indy.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you know, he had potentially this team on the cusp with some young talent, like I mentioned, to potentially challenge for a South title and maybe get back to a wild card or a playoff appearance. And again, you know, he has put players there that have excelled, right? And you think about the former head coaches that he has had there. Again, he recognizes talent, not just from the quarterback position, but from a head coach position. And again, this team is poised for success. How do they rally behind this passing? Only time will tell. But again, this is a stable organization now. It's staying in the family. We'll see, you know, what the family can do in terms of elevating the success over the next couple of years.
We shall see, Joe. Jim Irsay again, sadly passing away at the age of 65. Other news, of course, in the National Football League at the owner meetings in Minneapolis this past week. And of course, Joe, the hot button topic, the tush push and the Green Bay Packers proposal to ban such a play. Yesterday on Football Full Circle, Scott Wetzel and myself were live when we learned the result of the votes that the Packers proposal had fallen two yes votes short of needing the necessary 24 of 32 NFL owners to gain that supermajority and bring this rule proposal into legislation in the NFL. 22 yeses, but 10 no's. So the tush push survives. Lisi, what was your reaction to the tush push still being allowed in the NFL?
I'm happy about it because, again, you know, it's a football play. You know, some argue it's more of a rugby play, but ultimately it's a quarterback sneak. And we talked about it, especially from a defensive perspective. You don't want to get abused by the tush push. Don't allow the Philadelphia Eagles to be in third down or fourth down and short situations. Stop the offense as it relates to the rushing and passing attack. If you do that, you'll never have to worry about the tush push again, right? And, you know, it's ironic that the Packers are the one team, you know, really pushing forward from that when they couldn't even win a division title and lost both games to the Lions, right? The Lions should be ultimately the team they're looking to beat, not so much the Philadelphia Eagles. Hope that you get there. And I keep going back to this. The game that they lost to the Philadelphia Eagles had nothing to do with the tush push. It had to be that their offense and defensive lines were abused by a better group in the Philadelphia Eagles. And until that changes, they're not going to close the gap on the Eagles to win a Super Bowl.
And of course, Joe, there were the natural jokes that the vote failed 22-10. What was the final score of that opening round playoff game and the Eagles beating the Packers en route to winning a Super Bowl? 22-10 in Philadelphia. But Joe, one of the great things about such a hot button topic is we got some great reporting yesterday from the inside sources inside the room in that suburban Minneapolis hotel about how this all played out. Jeffrey Lurie speaking for nearly an hour, the Eagles owner trying to make an impassioned plea to his fellow NFL owners to keep the tush push alive, basically saying, if you ban it, we'll find another way to dominate. If you ban it, you are risking the safety of our quarterbacks in what is the safest play. Even made a comparison, Joe, almost like a Lisi quote, that it's the wet dream of every teenage boy. Don't get mad at me. Jeffrey Lurie's word, quote, the wet dream of every teenage boy, end quote, to invent a play so successful in the NFL, the league tries to ban it.
Yeah, again, they've perfected it. You know, right. That's it. You know, other teams can run it, and we keep going to the Buffalo Bills and their quarterback, Josh Allen. If they emulated that play, they'd be successful just as much as the Eagles. They just don't know how to run it.
Exactly so, Joe. We'll talk about the implications of this ruling and the vote as well, because are they overly significant to Philadelphia's quest for a title defense? Probably not. But does it feel like a win early? Probably yes. More on FFC next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Memorial Day doorbuster deals are here at Lowe's. Right now, rewards members save $80 on the Master Forge 4-burner gas grill, now just $149. Plus, rewards members save $900 on the Lowe's exclusive Hisense French door refrigerator, now only $999. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 5/26. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details. Programs subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change. Memorial Day deals are here at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances, including Samsung. Plus, save an extra $50 on every $500 you spend on select major appliances, $396 or more. Like the Samsung Bespoke AI Laundry Combo, the largest capacity, fastest, all-in-one laundry combo available that washes and dries in one machine. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 5/15 through 6/18. Selection varies by location. Total savings varies based on purchase amount. See Lowe's.com for details.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens, discussing the big news this week in Minneapolis at the NFL owners meeting. The proposal to ban the tush push did not pass, falling two votes shy of the necessary 24 for a super majority around the NFL. And Joe, as we shared, we got some great details about how this vote occurred yesterday in the Twin Cities. The impassioned speech for nearly an hour out of Jeffrey Lurie, the Eagles owner, including his crude joke. He brought in his most famous center, who was an anchor of the early portions of the tush push. That would be Jason Kelce, who shared with owners that he would run the tush push 60 times a game if he could. Whatever the Eagles did yesterday or in the lead up to the owner meetings this week in Minneapolis, Joe, it worked just enough because nine other teams, along with Philadelphia, voted no against this proposal to ban the tush push. Those nine other teams joining the Eagles: Ravens, Browns, Lions, Jaguars, Dolphins, Saints, Jets, and the Tennessee Titans. Those were the 10 no's that kept the proposal from being successful.
Yeah, and again, you know, I'm happy that they voted for that, because if you love the game of football and you love defense as a whole, you want to see the defense stop the offense. Yeah. It doesn't matter if it's a fourth and short situation. You know, you could go back years. How about the college game? We remember LeVar Arrington jumping over the pile to stop Illinois back in the day, an iconic stop on a fourth and goal or a third and goal type of situation. And I understand it's an outlier for the most part, but at the end of the day, it still gives the defense an opportunity to make a stop. And these are elite athletes. This is the top. It doesn't get more sophisticated and elite than the NFL. So if you can't stop it at that, just shows you how good the Philadelphia Eagles run it. So again, I'm happy that 10 teams voted no. The Eagles, again, whether they had the tush push or not, are the team to beat this season, not just from what they have from an offensive perspective, but that defensive front is dominant. Until that changes, teams are going to have to deal with it this season.
Yeah, absolutely so, Joe. And when you look at how this all played out, again, some further reporting that the league office, and namely Commissioner Roger Goodell, did not like this play optically, thinking it was ugly or not a true football play. You shake your head, and I completely agree, because the optics of trying to ban the tush push immediately after the Eagles win a Super Bowl and a Lombardi Trophy in Super Bowl 59, not a great look for the league. And Joe, it really only was optically that we had garnered some support to ban the tush push. What do I mean by that? Well, there was no data, no facts and figures that supported this was a more dangerous play than any other in the violent sport that is football. In fact, Dr. Alan Sills, who is the chief medical officer for the NFL, wasn't even at the meetings this week in Minnesota. A red flag for some that were basically like, okay, so there's not actually a health risk here or in an increased safety risk on this play. So what exactly are we doing? And then oftentimes, if a rule is put in place, it's to get rid of a competitive advantage that everybody, all 32 NFL teams, are exploiting in the rules and regulations. Everybody can run the tush push, but not everybody does. And nobody does it as successfully, of course, Joe, as the Philadelphia Eagles. Since they put the tush push in place at the beginning of 2022, of course, in that span, the Eagles have won two NFC championships, played in two Super Bowls, winning a Lombardi trophy. The Eagles have run their quarterback, namely Jalen Hurts, but their quarterback on a 1 yard to go situation 122 times, resulting in 30 touchdowns and 105 first downs. That's the most in the NFL. So the Eagles capitalize on this play. But as Nick Sirianni told us at the earlier spring meetings in Florida at the end of March and early April, he kind of resented the fact, Joe, that people thought the Eagles were using a cheapo play. The Eagles have invested in this play being successful, in a quarterback who can squat 600 pounds, in a heavily invested offensive line that is highly paid and highly regarded, with one of the best O-line coaches in the NFL in Jeff Stoutland. They have spent so many hours in practice on precisely crafting this play to have success. They have invested in it in the way that any other team had the accessibility to put their resources behind this play as well. And yet they have not to the level of success for Philadelphia. So that to me is optically the interesting part of this scenario. The tush push lives, which feels like a win for the Birds, but it could be a win for all 32 NFL franchises.
Yeah, exactly. And we talk about Jalen Hurts, and we know that he's a workout warrior, just like Saquon Barkley. He's a mobile quarterback, but you could take it and look at it in the sense of, again, you know, I'll look at one quarterback, Josh Allen, 6'5", you know, 235, 240 pounds, mobile. And you're telling me if Buffalo didn't invest the same time and ingenuity into pushing Josh Allen on a fourth and goal or a fourth and short situation, that they wouldn't be just as successful? They don't need it, let's say, as much. It's not that as much as their offensive identity as maybe it is for the Philadelphia Eagles, but they could certainly implement it along with other teams, right? You know, there are very dominant offensive lines in the NFL. Detroit has one. Kansas City, you can make the argument, has one, you know, in the AFC, but they failed to use that play because they choose other options. It's not that they can't use it. They just choose not to use it. So again, and you know, Roger Goodell saying that he's upset. The NFL put these rules in place where, you know, it used to be where you couldn't push a ball carrier, you know, forward. They changed that rule. What did you expect? Like, and I'm not saying, giving the Eagles, like, you know, bashing them, but you put in rules and they're playing by the rules. Why are you then penalizing them or trying to hurt them for success? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, about 20 years ago, Joe, there was a rule in place that was changed in 2004 that you could now push and pull the ball carrier. That was not always the case in the National Football League, to which everybody for the past two decades has had the opportunity to run something of the sort. The Eagles have found their way, found their success. So whether it should just be individually for Philadelphia, the Birds got a win yesterday. Does it galvanize a team in their Super Bowl defense? We shall discuss, looking at the odds for the Birds entering 2025, up next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
McCrispy strips are now at McDonald's. I hope you're ready for the most dippable chicken in McDonald's history. Dip it in all the sauces. Dip it in that hot sauce in your bag. Dip it in your McFlurry. Your dip is your business. McCrispy strips at McDonald's.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. As we have shared, the Tush Push has become the brotherly shove in Philadelphia. The Eagles do it better and more consistently than any other team around the National Football League. But just because the Tush Push survives in the NFL does not only directly impact the Eagles or potentially benefit the Birds, but Joe, on their Super Bowl defense, it felt like an early offseason win in the city of Philadelphia. Here are the odds for the Eagles as they embark on that title defense in 2025. The win total, 11.5. The under, a slight bit of juice. Philadelphia, the fourth most difficult schedule based on projected win totals entering the 2025 campaign. But they are the odds-on favorites. Minus 145 to win the NFC East. Shortest price to win the NFC Championship, plus 330. And once again, the favorites to win Super Bowl 60 at plus 650. The Tush Push, really, is not going to have much of an impact on these preseason odds for the overall outlook for Philadelphia. But there's a little bit of gung-ho, heck yeah, we won the day, certainly in that locker room and within the organization at the moment.
Yeah, it's like they're in everybody's heads in the NFC, right? You know, if you're the Packers and you're a perennial contender and you're trying to obviously make the playoffs and challenge the best team in the NFL, you're lobbying so hard, like this is going to make or break your season. It's like ridiculous now. And, you know, if you're the Eagles, you got to say, you know what, everybody fears us now, right? They know they can't stop us. And as long as we're healthy, we're as good as obviously any team in the league, and we could dominate. Would they rip off 15 of 16 or 16 of 17 wins after they started 2-2 overall? They dominated everybody. And again, you know, is anything going to change? No. If anything, that defense might be a little bit stronger now. We don't know. You know, another year coming in and knowing the pieces that they have and how they drafted accordingly, they could step up and just dominate the NFL and be a top five unit again. So,
yeah,
it's very difficult. As long as they're healthy, I believe they're the best team. 650 to me is a very good price. Unless they start like a Joe Burrow or a Cincinnati type of start, I think it's only going to get shorter. So for me, I think they're the best team to repeat. I like the 650 value, and I like them at 3-1 at the start of the year when they put out the odds to win the NFC again.
Yeah, San Francisco, Joe, has reached the NFC Championship 4 of the previous 6 seasons. Philadelphia has reached now 2 of the last 3. But unlike the Niners, who have only appeared in 2 Super Bowls, Philadelphia's hit rate of NFC Championship success actually winning that title much higher. And the Eagles, of course, have a Super Bowl trophy to show off in their hardware case to make it all good. Joe, to me, again, Philadelphia is the team to beat, standing atop the mountain in the NFC, now on that perch until somebody knocks them off. The NFC East, we expect to be a little bit better than it was a season ago. Can the Dallas Cowboys get back to their median, at least where they have regular season success, contending for that divisional crown? Of course, we know the large step the Commanders made entering 2024, hoping to replicate that success and even more growth with Jaden Daniels in year number 2 in 2025. And the Giants are probably going to finish last, fourth in the division, Joe, but they're not necessarily a doormat. The win total 5.5, the under has the juice, but I think we all believe the Giants can at least be a small thorn in maybe their divisional opponent's sides in 2025. It should be noted, although the Birds, correctly so, are a minus money favorite at minus 145 to win the division in the NFC East, it's that quirky, weird trend in this division that since 2004, now 21 years, nobody has been a repeat champion, gone back-to-back in the NFC East. Again, since 2004, that's 2 decades of a very long sample size.
Yeah, and think about, you know, for the teams that you mentioned outside the Eagles in the East, do we believe Dallas with a first-year head coach and that defense are going to challenge? Most likely not. The only team on paper that you could say could step up, I believe, is Washington. And when you look at the 2 games last year in the regular season and including the championship game, they were abused in the interior for the most part. Now, the game that Washington won was with Kenny Pickett basically for three quarters, right? Philly had a 14-0 lead before Jalen Hurts got hurt. So barring any major injury, I think the Eagles knocked down that door. But for me, Ben, the better bet is the Super Bowl over the division.
Yeah, I completely agree, Joe, right? The long-term success, because we do feel Philadelphia at a minus 430 price sees the postseason in one form or fashion. We'll continue to go around the NFL next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. Joe, a ton to break down, of course, from the NFL owner meetings this week in Minneapolis. We've kind of gone over all of the proposed rule changes, those that came to a vote, those that reached a decision. Playoff format will remain the same. The onside kick changed ever so slightly in hopes of making it a more successful play. We have talked at length about NFL players being permitted to participate in the 2028 Olympic Games in flag football. A couple of other updates yesterday, Joe, from the owners' meeting. Let's start with Hard Knocks, the training camp edition with the Buffalo Bills this upcoming August on HBO. Buffalo, Joe, they will be the focus of Hard Knocks this upcoming year.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great, you know, organization and a team on the cusp of a Super Bowl. And basically, I want to say, you know, like an under-the-radar team from just an out, you know, social perspective. You know, you have Josh Allen. Well, you have Josh Allen, but outside of that, you know, it's an organization, even though they're in technically New York market, that we don't know a lot about. Sean McDermott isn't outspoken like some of the other head coaches in the league. And again, you could say he's more, maybe, you know, a little bit too quiet, almost like Belichick-like in terms of with the media, right? You know, he watches his P's and Q's. Maybe this will give us an inside perspective about where the team stands and maybe even bring more optimism to Buffalo and even the fan perspective. You know, the fans love Josh Allen, but we don't know about James Cook. Will he be there? Will he be gone? Ty Johnson, some of those other players. That's hopefully what we get to see. And you think about some of the other teams that have been in Hard Knocks, you know, I feel like those players are more notable than outside of the Buffalo Bills, you know, star players.
You get that Hard Knocks bump, the attention and the notoriety that comes from it. I'm not sure the Buffalo Bills need that bump in terms of optimism, because when you look at their season odds outlook for 2025, Joe, it's as good as you will find around the National Football League. The highest win total for all of the NFL this year resides in Western New York. The Bills at 11.5. The over has the hefty juice at minus 140. Now, part of that is the division that Buffalo has dominated the last half decade, five consecutive AFC East divisional titles. In Joe, a division this year that is not nearly as strong as the past few. We thought with Aaron Rodgers being there in New York the last two seasons, Buffalo would get a test to a Tagovailoa, and that a dynamic offense of the Dolphins would be on the rise. And then the New England Patriots, of course, stumbling the last few years. This year, Joe, 11.5 the win total for the Bills, the over at minus 140. Again, that heavy, heavy vig. Everybody else around the AFC East, a win total of 8.5 or less than that. And even the 8.5 for Miami, the under has considerable juice. 7.5 for New England, 5.5 for the New York Jets. The Buffalo Bills should roll once again to their sixth consecutive AFC East crown. But Joe, as we know, as they are booked as a minus 230 favorite, best price of any team to win any of the eight divisions around the National Football League, that's not the question for Sean McDermott, Josh Allen, and the rest of the Bills. It is finally winning the AFC Championship and at least appearing in a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, again, until they get to the Super Bowl, just like Lamar Jackson and Baltimore, they're going to have to answer the critics, right? You could have a great regular season team, but until you step up and obviously knock off Kansas City or whoever you face in an AFC championship, you're going to have to answer the critics and say that it was an underachieving season. You know, the Buffalo Bills, we know, can dominate the AFC East. And again, I think when you look at the East as a whole, obviously, New England's still in a rebuild. I don't expect them to challenge Buffalo. Miami, I'm sold on them, especially from a defensive perspective. The one team I think that's on the upswing but still can't challenge for a division championship is the New York Jets. So, you know, we know Buffalo with Josh Allen, as long as he's healthy, is going to be an 11, 12, or 13-win football team. But can the defense and can this team just overcome all of the negativity as it surrounds in the postseason? If they have the opportunity to face Kansas City or, let's say, Baltimore in a championship setting, can they close the door and get it done and make their way to the Super Bowl? If they do that, they have a great shot, obviously, to win it with Josh Allen at the helm.
And in this five-year run, Joe, the Buffalo has won the AFC East Championship each of those five seasons. The Bills have won at least 11 regular season games, 13 exactly in three of the last 5 years, including last season at 13-4. They have played in two AFC Championship games in this five-year span. They have come up short in Kansas City against the Kansas City Chiefs each of those two times. In fact, four times in this five-year window, Buffalo has been bounced from the postseason by their arch AFC nemesis in the Chiefs. It is part of what leaves me scratching my head ever so slightly that Kansas City has the third best price to win the AFC Championship entering 2025. Baltimore, the favorite at plus 360. They're 10 cents in front of Buffalo at plus 370, who is 50 cents in front of the Chiefs at plus 420. Because the only team that has beaten Kansas City in the Patrick Mahomes era in an AFC Championship is Tom Brady and the Patriots, and currently Joe Burrow and the Bengals. Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson have both faltered in their opportunities to slay that AFC dragon. So the fact that, not that they cannot get it done, Joe, but the fact they are priced in front of Kansas City and there is no value with shorter numbers on either the Ravens or the Bills, that's what's astounding to me.
Yeah, and again, you know, we talked about how, you know, I'm going to say not equal, but, you know, stronger the AFC West has become with Bo Nix and Denver and Justin Herbert with Harbaugh. So that maybe, you know, maybe Kansas City will be challenged more so this year than in recent years to win a division and maybe not get home field. But it's not even so much, I get it, like it's Lamar and it's Josh Allen from, you know, answering the critics. But as much as it's Lamar and it's Josh, it's still Sean McDermott and Harbaugh. Now, Harbaugh won a Super Bowl back in the day with Flacco, but every opportunity he has had, it seems like his game plan or what he does, he doesn't have the team ready. Both of those coaches have to answer the bell, too, because now the pressure's on.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Joe. And you're spot on in that. It's the head coaches, it's the organization, and of course, often squarely, fair or not, it is that quarterback spot. And there's no doubt that the up-and-coming nature of the AFC West, three playoff teams last year, including the Chiefs, who won the division for a ninth consecutive season, part of that is because they expect to be challenged by the Chargers and the Broncos, and even the Raiders not being abhorrently awful this upcoming season, provide a tougher test for KC in that division than Buffalo in the AFC East. The Ravens still playing in the AFC North, I don't find to be necessarily the easiest division, but still they are booked as the AFC title favorites. Elsewhere, Joe, some other NFL news from a Wednesday. When we look at where things are, a new reward for the National Football League in 2025. The best offensive lineman each and every NFL season will now be officially known as the Protector of the Year.
Yeah, I mean, Protector of the Year. I mean, it's great. You know, that's you know, you got to love that. You know, the NFL comes up with, you know, new ways and you know, new mantras and new ways of honoring players, and that's what it's all about. But at the end of the day, we'll see, you know, we'll see what it means in the grand scope of things.
Right. We've got MVP, we've got Offensive and Defensive Player of the Year, Offensive and Defensive Rookie of the Year, AP Coach of the Year, Comeback Player of the Year. How about
Would
a little
bet on
for
it?
The Hog? Not yet.
Would you bet on it?
I think we will. I think we will be able to. Like, the odds have to be posted, right? I would set right now Tristan Wirfs, maybe, as that favorite. Panay Sewell? Who would you make the favorite?
That's so I don't know. I'd have to think about it. I'll think about it in the break, but I can just tell you this. That's the most objective Yeah, flip a quarter on that one.
Well, a lot of it obviously will be tied to pressure grade and sack rate and all that good stuff. Tristan Wirfs, the only guy in NFL history to win an All-Pro First Team Award, to be an AP All-Pro First Teamer at both right and left tackle, just saying. More on FFC up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What if I told you that right now, millions of people are living with a debilitating condition that's so misunderstood, many of them don't even know that they have it? That condition is obsessive-compulsive disorder, or OCD. I'm Dr. Patrick McGrath, the Chief Clinical Officer of NOCD. And in the 25 years I've been treating OCD, I've met so many people who were suffering from the condition in silence, unaware of just what it was. OCD can create overwhelming anxiety and fear around what you value most, make you question your identity, beliefs, and morals, and drive you to perform mentally and physically draining compulsions or rituals. Over my career, I've seen just how devastating OCD can be when it's left untreated. But help is available. That's where NOCD comes in. NOCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for obsessive compulsive disorder. Our licensed therapists are trained in exposure and response prevention therapy, a specialized treatment proven to be incredibly effective for OCD. So visit NOCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call with our team. That's NOCD.com.
McCrispy strips are now at McDonald's. I hope you're ready for the most dippable chicken in McDonald's history. Dip it in all the sauces. Dip it in that hot sauce in your bag. Dip it in your McFlurry. Your dip is your business. McCrispy strips at McDonald's.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Enough of the NFL conversation on this Thursday on Football Full Circle. Let's talk a little college football now with some updates that we have this week in late May. Joe, exactly today, 100 days away from the opening full Saturday of the college football season, August 30th, Saturday, August 30th. 2025. And of course, entering 2025, could it be the second and yet final year of the 12-team college football playoff? That is up for debate. And of course, Joe, one of the main issues I thought people had with expansion in 2024 was not the additional teams, more so, but really the playoff formatting once we got there. The five highest ranked conference champs, not just earning that automatic bid to the college football playoff, but the four highest ranked conference champions guaranteeing an opening round bye. That was an issue for some, seeing Boise State and ASU get that opening round bye and into the quarterfinal round of the CFP. Well, Ross Dellinger of Yahoo Sports reporting early this morning, Joe, the college football playoff execs are scheduled for a call today where many of them expect to adopt a straight seeding model for the 2025 playoff that would feature a financial compromise. Of course, the SEC and the Big Ten have been largely in favor of that straight seeding. You still have the automatic bids to the college football playoff for the five highest ranked conference champs, but it's just in how the college football playoff committee would rank those teams 1 through 12, eliminating thus the automatic and guaranteed bye week for those four highest ranked conference champs. We're not sure the future of the college football playoff starting in the 2026 season, Joe, but it does seem as though there is some building momentum for a straight seeding model for the 12-team playoff in 2025.
Yeah, and that is right? I think the one thing when you look back at the college football playoff is how they seeded certain teams and, you know, the perception that and you know, just the body of work where certain teams didn't perform during the regular season, but were rewarded for their success somehow, some way in the college football playoff. And look at Penn State in the two games that they had to play before they faced off against Notre Dame. They faced off against SMU and Boise State. Oregon wins the number one seed and has to face the winner of Ohio State and Tennessee. How does that play out? Yeah. So again, I hope they get it right. Hopefully this is a step in the right direction. Straight seeding, best record, you know, best record, best conference, and we'll take it from there. But again, it's all about money, right? And this is not going to change we're going to tweak this year after year after year because, you know, teams will always have something to say, Ben, whether it be the SEC or the Big Ten. They're the main drivers of this. And again, until we satisfy them, they won't be happy.
No doubt about it, Joe. And the Big Ten and the SEC trying to paint a path forward for the most likely path for both conferences to get their teams deeper into the college football playoff with all of the financial incentive that requires. But for a league like the Mountain West that had Boise State as the 3 seed, or a league like the Big 12 that had Arizona State as the 4 seed, when you automatically get placed then with the opening round bye into the college football playoff quarterfinal, that comes with a bump of pay as well. So some financial assurances, it seems, will be made back to those other conferences that are not the Big Two in the Power Four. Lacey Guy, here is how a 2024 college football playoff bracket would have looked like if we just had the straight seeding model. The 1 seed still would have been Oregon. The 2 seed still would have been Georgia, the champions of the Big Ten and the SEC title games, respectively. But here's really the big difference. Texas was the top at-large team in that 5 spot. Penn State, the loser of the Big Ten title, like the Longhorns in the SEC, were the 6 seed. Based on the final college football playoff committee rankings, Texas was ranked 3rd, Penn State 4th. So those 4 teams, Oregon, Georgia, Texas, Penn State, in that order, would have earned the opening round bye. Our 5-12 game would have been Notre Dame and Clemson. Our 6-11 game would have been Ohio State, Arizona State. 7-10, Tennessee and SMU. The 8-9, Indiana and Boise State. So the Broncos, who were 9th in the latest college football playoff rankings, and the Sun Devils, who were ranked 11th in the college football playoff rankings. Actually, I don't even know if those were the true rankings. Let me just find them here, because I think they were a little bit deeper than that. Regardless where they were, Joe, they would have been the 9 seed and the 11 seed based on the straight seeding format, not the 3 seed for the Broncos and the 4 seed for the Sun Devils.
Yeah, and obviously that would have been right? You know, you give Texas, you give Penn State, at least that technically had harder schedules. You can make the argument, you know, the better seeding, but it would have provided an opportunity for Indiana to maybe win a college football playoff game against Boise State if they did square off, right? And obviously give Boise State an opportunity to, you know, play Cinderella against a winnable opponent as opposed to stepping up against Notre Dame, who Indiana played, and Penn State, who Boise State lost to in the college football playoff. So, you know, that's what you want to see too. You know, Arizona State, you can make the argument, had the best showing as some of these Cinderellas because they potentially pushed Texas to the limit and lost that game in overtime. So, you know, you never could say never, but styles do make fights, and you still want to see those Cinderellas have an opportunity to move on to maybe a semifinal playoff game. And at the current level, they faced off against dominant competition in week number one of the playoff.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Joe. So 1 through 9, Oregon, Georgia, Texas, Penn State, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Tennessee, Indiana, Boise State. Those were the top nine in the rankings. SMU was 10. But again, based on having to move some of this stuff around, SMU would have been the 10-7 game against Tennessee. Arizona State was 12th. Clemson was 16th in the rankings. Who was number 11? Alabama. Well, would Alabama then get in? No, it still takes into account the 5 highest-ranked conference champs, ASU, the champs of the Big 12, Clemson pulling the slight upset in the ACC championship game over SMU. They still earn those automatic bids, but not the 4 highest-ranked conference champions getting the automatic first round bye. We'll talk a little bit more about the straight seeding model that could be adapted for the 12-team playoff in 2025 on the other side of the break. Because it's always fascinating, Joe, with the updates to the college football playoff, how the selection committee will actually handle it. We'll discuss up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
McCrispy strips are now at McDonald's. I hope you're ready for the most dippable chicken in McDonald's history. Dip it in all the sauces. Dip it in that hot sauce in your bag. Dip it in your McFlurry. Your dip is your business. McCrispy strips at McDonald's.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
According to Ross Dellinger of Yahoo Sports, their college football national writer, the CFP executives are expected to be on a call at some point on this Thursday to adopt a straight seeding model for the 2025 12-team college football playoff that would look different than a year ago, where the four highest-ranked conference champs earned that opening round bye, seeded 1-4, despite where they were ranked in the final college football playoff rankings. And Lisi Guy, one of our co-hosts, of course, on College Football Today is Kevin Walsh. And he was really mad 2 years ago at the end of 2023 about how the committee had a lack of regard for 5-12 or the rest of the rankings after those contentious four, basically saying next year, this is the stuff we will debate. And it still felt like at times this year, figuring out the top 12, but using the five highest ranked conference champs in their auto bid, and thus how the bracket would look according to the rankings, was always difficult and confusing each and every week. The reason I bring that up is because you could take the 2024 final CFP rankings that has four teams from the same two conferences at the top 1-4, the four teams basically that competed in the Big Ten and SEC championship games, Oregon and Penn State, Georgia and Texas, and say, well, if we updated a straight seeding model for 2024, here's what it looks like. Oregon, Georgia, Texas, and Penn State all earning that first round bye. I am not so sure that if the committee was tasked with doing those rankings in this straight seeding model, that Penn State and Texas, the losers of the SEC championship game and the Big Ten championship game, would have been given the benefit of the doubt to earn that opening round bye. I think Notre Dame could have crept into the top four to get that opening round bye. So it will be very interesting. It's not just plug and play and here's how it would look and here's what we can expect. It'll take even more thought out of the College Football Playoff Selection Committee, which at times is a scary, scary idea.
Yeah, when you have former coaches and former, you know, SI directors and current ones that are in particular conferences, they're always going to lobby for their best interest, right? I mean, we saw it on the college basketball side with North Carolina, right? I mean, you know, you saw that and that type of dispute and debate that went down in college basketball. It's the same right thing with college football. You know, I could look at a team and they could be 11-1, and I could say strength of schedule as it relates to the ACC is not as strong as the Big Ten or the SEC, and two other people can look at it and say, no, you're wrong, this, that, and the other thing. And that's where right you have that objectivity come in, and you can never come into, you know, ultimately the proper or the correct way. So I say use a point system. I honestly believe they should just have a cookie-cutter method, which is what it is. Instead of having people debate it, just have, you know, a win over a top five opponent is this. A win over a top 10 opponent is this. A win over that, and let's just take it with that and see how that goes as it relates to these matchups. Because when you have human element involved, we're always gonna have a debate, Ben. Somebody's gonna be unhappy.
Yeah, and basically, Joe, what you are saying is kind of similar to the BCS model, right? The computer-generated rankings of how we crowned a national champion then, but it was only two teams that would just play in a BCS national championship game and the other bowls. If we used a BCS-type system now to slot in 12 teams in an expanded playoff, would we have as many issues with it? It was like the limited window of only having two teams playing a national championship game that gave us issue, trying to decide it on the field. Would it be very different now that there are 12 teams that would reach the college football playoff? Sometimes, Lisi Guy, I think we've lost the plot, right? Especially as we get into the ideas of the 14 and 16 team college football playoff that could potentially start in 2026 in the four auto bids for the Big Ten and the SEC, grinds my gears to an absolute pulp. I hate it. I hate the idea of it because there should be equal opportunity to contend for a national championship, even if in its structure, that is not a reality. The idea should be egalitarian. It is very much differently so that maybe we do return to the BCS model if things get out of hand. We'll see, though, Lisa Guy, how it plays out in 2025. But I do agree with you. And it's also fascinating because the methodology, even in the four-team era, which was 10 years or now the second year of the 12-team era, there was never a common guideline or rules and regulations the committee had to follow year after year. One year would be strength of schedule. Next would be head-to-head matchups. That's what makes it oftentimes infuriating. He is Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. Football Full Circle returns tomorrow, noon Eastern time on a Friday on Sports Grid Radio.